둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm going to record too. Why not?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, of course, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. New episode every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, please give a rating, leave a review. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Maggie Lindemann was just here. Guy Garvey from Elbow. Comedian Martin Amini. We talked with Nathan Stewart Jarrett and George McKay about the movie Femme. Rudy Mancuso about the movie Musica, out now on Prime Video. Hamish Linklater was here. He stars as Abraham Lincoln in Manhunt on Apple TV+. Gary Clark Jr., Danielle McDonald from The Tourist, Sheryl Crow dropped by, Desi Leidig from The Daily Show, and of course, our 900th episode special featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, actor Michael C. Hall, Dolly Parton, Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, and Shelley Hennig. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with actor Skeet Ulrich about the new AMC Plus series called Parrish that co-stars Giancarlo Esposito. And it follows a family man played by Giancarlo. He's a proud owner of a luxury car service in New Orleans. But after his son is violently murdered and his business collapses, he ends up in an encounter with an old friend played by Skeet Ulrich from his days as a will man that sends him on a high-stakes collision course with a violent criminal syndicate. Now, Skeet and I are going to break down his character, a man that has a knack for bringing him as much trouble as he does for fun, and the loyalty he has for Esposito's Gray Parish, as well as what it was like to have the Breaking Bad and Do the Right Thing actor as a scene partner. Now, we'll also hear about Skeet finding his Cajun accent for the role and the backstory on falling into alligator water while filming in an abandoned Six Flags. Of course, I'm going to bring up Scream, whether he thinks there's any road left for the ghost of Billy Loomis to pop up in the further installments, and what he hopes for the future of Parrish. All that and more as we're talking Parrish, out now on AMC and AMC+. It's Kyle Meredith with Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, thank you.
It's fun. So, you know, here we are, New Orleans. You're playing opposite Giancarlo Esposito, and you know, you feel like a guy who probably knows he's in deep, a little bit of a deep resent inside himself. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. Like, who do you think this guy is?
You know, I think early on I was interested in the idea of, does this guy bring trouble or fun or both? And I think it's both. I think he's, you know, I think he's the relationship between them is obviously, despite even 17 years of him locked away and not ratting out Parrish at all. You know, I think the relationship is so solid. I think he's Giancarlo's character is his only friend, his only family, and he's willing to do anything to maintain that. Obviously, Sarah is a distant dream that sort of crumbles as we go along. But, you know, the show's really about family and what we do for family. And I think that's just an extension of that. He's just another part of Parrish's family.
I'm always interested in, like, even in real life, like, I think I know guys like this. And there's always something about loyalty with them that I find surprising. I'm not even sure psychologically where that comes from, but it's always a very noticeable trait.
Yeah, I think that's a key element to him is that loyalty. And I think it's part of why, you know, why he's kept around. You know, he'd be easy to eliminate otherwise. But yeah, it was a fascinating character to jump into, something I felt wildly connected to for some reason. And getting to work with Giancarlo and everybody on that screen. I mean, I was blown away when I saw it, just how incredible all the performances are. So I'm just honored to be a part of it, to be honest.
I mean, having him as a scene partner, I don't know what you can specifically say about coming from that angle, because as the old saying goes, I mean, your best performance is because of, at least in part, to who you're playing against, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, he's it's funny because I went to NYU years and years ago, graduated in 93, and David Mamet and William H. Macy were my teachers at the time. And they, you know, Giancarlo was doing a play at the Atlantic Theater Company in my second year at that conservatory, and called Distant Fires, which he won the Obie for. And he was mesmerizing. I mean, just, and, you know, you couldn't help but be impassioned by his everyman quality on stage, which is now in Parrish. But I've known him a long, long time. Not personally. We didn't get to know each other intimately at all. I was a student. He was just a guest teacher. But, you know, we were around each other a little bit. And then I ran into him about 5 years ago on a plane, and we hit it off and started talking. This came entirely out of auditioning in the regular set of things. But all that to say, like, he's an incredibly intimate scene partner. And I mean that in the sense that it's a, you know, there was just an energy between us. There was so much fun. I always felt like from the moment I read it that he carries so much bass notes. You know, if you think about it musically, or the piece as a symphony, he is so much bass notes. And I knew we needed something staccato to move stuff along and to sort of bring the energy up. So it just became this sort of jazz rhythm, and it worked. And so we just kept riffing with it and rolling with it. And what you see is there.
Beautiful songs are being made right on the screen.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Skeet Ulrich. And you're both like, I was, of course, he's playing the driver, and you having your history in NASCAR and things like, did you guys get to play around with that off screen?
Not so much. I mean, it was a pretty hectic schedule, unfortunately. We get to go this weekend to Austin, and you know, the NASCAR race is there. He's doing stuff. I'm doing stuff to promote the show and NASCAR in general. But yeah, that's, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get the time. I know he bought a motorcycle, I think, while we were in New Orleans. He's, you know, he's deep into it, into motorcycles and cars, and everything has been his whole life. So, you know, I think that part was so interesting and unexpected, to be honest. I always thought of him as a New York City kid, and, like, you know, and they don't drive. But he's got it figured out.
You get that. There is that scene, like, right in the beginning too, like, you all, like, just playing around in the garage. That's where I saw that. Like, oh, that must have been, like, it's too bad you didn't get to take more advantage of that, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Maybe next time if we are so lucky.
Yeah. So you're in New Orleans, and this guy, you know, New Orleans based. How did you find, or, like, what was it like finding the accent and the voice?
You know, it's something I heard early on, like I said, in reading it. And I had done a version of a Cajun accent about 5 years ago for a Quibi project that Anton Fuqua produced and was set to direct. But Seeth Mann took over late in the game because Anton had some stuff to go do, you know, and he was around. But I got to dabble in that accent a little bit in that piece, which we shot in New Orleans as well. And so it wasn't quite new to me, but this one I felt like was 17 years in Angola, which is the toughest prison in the US and is 90% African American population in the prison, that it was a mix of Cajun and Black to some extent, that there was some way he survived in this prison that spoke to the accent to me. And so I kind of let it fly a little bit, and it was more about the rhythms to me than precision necessarily. But I was definitely keen on precision. And, you know, there were people on set who, you know, came to me numerous times and were like, oh my God, you sound just like my uncle, or you sound just like my family, or this and that. So that was, you know, encouraging for sure. But it was just a rhythm thing for me. And there's a cadence to it that is fun and interesting, and hopefully people understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you can overplay that. I mean, you know, I'm based in Kentucky. I'm in Louisville, and to hear people every now and then, well, they'll do this, and they overdo the Southern accent. You're like, it's not that far, you know. It's like it seems like, and especially interesting to hear like you put that much thought into where that would come from, and that like, is that always part of your process?
It depends. It depends on the story as a whole. It depends on, you know, what the tone of the piece is. I kind of go by tone more than anything. You know, like I said, there was just a rhythm there that I felt like really moved the story and allowed him to dwell in the pauses. You know, if I can move it along, he can take time to have this moment, you know. And so it really just, yeah, I mean, I guess it's part of, you know, you always find a different way in. Sometimes it's different, sometimes it's similar, but and that one for me was really key. I, you know, was that was the way in, was his voice. And it just became fun to do. I, you know, a lot of fun. And I still catch myself doing it here and there.
I like how you talk about the rhythm too. I mean, obviously being in New Orleans,
Yeah.
sort of the music that kind of plays, you know, and you get those cutaway scenes in the series where, you know, we see the lines down the streets and everything. And like how much, like you guys are in an abandoned amusement park at one point, and you just all these shots, like it's probably an obvious question, but how much does the background get to do the work for you in these moments?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, a lot, a lot. I mean, I think it is certainly the, you know, the nth character in the story, New Orleans. I mean, it is a New Orleans story, and it feels wrong anywhere else. You know, that abandoned, there was a Six Flags that got wiped out in Katrina, and they just never
So that was,
funded.
I didn't know what that was. That's a Six Flags.
Yeah. And you know, we shot there one day. It was, you know, it was a lot of lightning strikes. And when you have a lightning strike, you got to wait 30 minutes till you can roll cameras again. You got to make sure they're in the next time there's a strike, another 30-minute wait. And there were four scenes we had to shoot in that. There were four scripted scenes, and we were pressed and pressed, and we were in the middle of like a first take. We had a camera on a crane, a wide, and a couple handhelds, and I just moved forward. You know, we'd finished one part of it, and I was like, wait, we're in the exact. I'm just gonna keep going. So we wound up running, and Giancarlo, like, I gave him the line, start line to the next scene, and he caught it, and then we just kept going. So we wound up with a 12-minute take of all four scenes that was really dynamic and interesting, and lightning strike. So we go to lunch, you know, we wait out the lightning, we come back, and you know, we do another take, we flip the cameras around, and it gets a little more heated each take we do, and they're all like 10, 12 minutes long. And we didn't know, like, there was a part of that scene that's not in there where the body won't sink. You know, we throw it in, it won't sink, and a gator comes up and pulls it underwater, and that's the relief, you know. So they had dug out the like edge of that bank for this mechanism that would pull the fake body under as if a alligator had grabbed it. Well, that pond, they pulled out, you know, a lot of alligators that morning to make it safe for us to work beside it. and cleared it out and all this. And we get into this scene and he pushes me and I'm a fucking ex-con and I push him back and his foot hits the edge where that drop off was. And he went boom in the lake underwater. And so I instantly reached down to help him out. He pulled me in with him. We start ad-libbing all this dialogue. We get out, we continue the scene, which includes the whole ending, making this mechanism to get the car out, all that stuff. It wound up being like a 15-minute scene that when we stopped, the crew erupted in applause and like, and it was the coolest freaking moment. I thought in that moment, I'm either fired or who knows what. But we had we just had a blast on most days, but that one in particular was like a.
Luckily, you were an alligator meat on top of it.
So. I know.
Man, we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Skeet Ulrich.
Of course, I'll quickly just bring up how much fun it was seeing you the past few years reprising your Scream role. I swear that was one of the best parts of those movies. It was so great seeing you in there. With Thank everything you. That's happened, is that the end of Billy, do you think? Is there room for more ghosts?
I would assume. I don't know. I don't see another way around that. I think it is. I think it is, sadly.
I guess a Billy Loomis spinoff, a ghost spinoff. Just ghost-solving right. mysteries, you know. It's
Imagine. I like this. Bring it up with Spyglass.
We get that in there. It really was so great seeing you in there, but it's as just great seeing you in Parrish and what you all are doing. Have you all talked about where you'd like to see the story go from here?
I don't get paid enough to be a part of those conversations, unfortunately. I know there are conversations, obviously, and it's something that has been a passion of Giancarlo's for 8 years in developing this material and this piece, and so I know that they are on it, and I'm sure it will be brilliant. Hopefully we get the chance to do that. But for now, what you see is, I think it's just so brilliant. And if he doesn't win the Golden Globe, I cannot wait to see the performance that does. He is phenomenal in it. It's an everyman who is up against the wall. And where do you go? I think it's such a story in the now. It's so relatable, and it just keeps escalating, which is so fascinating. And again, I'm just blessed to be a part of it, so hopefully there's more.
Yeah, for every corner that you got painted into, all of you all, it was kind of fun to see how they're going to get out of it. So I'm up for the ride as well, pun intended, I suppose.
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Skeet, thank you so much for taking the time. Seriously, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks. Same. And I hope to see you in Louisville. I'll be there later in the year for a convention. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Around, come say hi.
My thanks to Skeet. The new series is called Parrish. It's out on AMC and AMC Plus. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. That way you get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured some classics and favorites from NXS, Annie Lennox, Low Moon, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, David Bowie, Karim Bailey Ray, Cage the Elephant, Hum, The Rentals, Bow Wow Wow, and my interview with Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction and Porno for Pyros. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. And of course, you can find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
All right, man. Take care of yourself.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.